Hey everyone, welcome to InnoVision Chat episode 4. I'm Fosh and I'm joined with J-Ro.
Hey, what's up?
Steve's here.
Sup?
And Amru is also here.
Yo, yo, yo.
Yep, got a packed house and this is recording on July 30th, so fairly. We're still kind of like, I think, what, 3 weeks into the new season? I think.
Yeah, a lot of episode 3s. I think some episode 4s. Can't be sure.
Yeah, there's a few out there. And I guess we're going to jump into the news. There's some anime news here, not a lot, but just some. Keijo fans in Portugal start up a Keijo sport, which I've read that. It was pretty funny. I was reading that earlier, like, because it can be a real sport.
Yeah.
I was going to say, it's not nearly as sexy.
No.
Yeah, I was thinking that. I was like, this is nowhere going to be anywhere near as good.
Then I saw they're wearing like pads on like their thighs and their chest, so they don't hurt each other, which, you know, obviously would make sense in the real world. So it's like, they're not going to, like you said, not going to be that. We're not DOA yet in real life.
Yeah, they haven't attracted the right girls.
I'm ready for the super moves. I'm trying to pull those off.
Yeah, of course. Steins Gate Zero to get an anime adaptation, which I'm like, how much Steins Gate do we really freaking need, guys? I know the story. Do we need any more? That's what I feel a little bit.
I'm honestly curious. I'm curious because, like, the Steins Gate Zero actually got localized. You can buy it on, like, PlayStation 4 and stuff. Mm-hmm. I've always been kind of tempted to jump into the visual novel, you know, because I saw the anime and the movie and liked them. But, you know, now that they're making an anime, I don't have to.
Right, that's what I feel with the next story, too. I mean, but the Steins Gate, I'm like, they've had, what, a TV series, what, I think a movie, and now they're doing another one, which I guess is time travel, so I guess you can do whatever you want, technically.
You see, that's the thing. I don't know anything about the story for Zero, so I don't know if it's like, you know, Zero makes me think of a prequel, right? So I'm not sure if it's set before or after or what it's about. But, hey, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I mean, if Chaos Head can get another series, why not?
Oh, God, no. Yeah. I will hang myself if that happens.
I kind of wish they would do more with robotic notes. I like that one, but
I like that one too.
Yeah. Next one is Persona 5 getting a TV anime, which everyone saw coming. Obviously, it's a, I didn't play the game. My brother did, but I'm excited for what I've heard.
You're supposed to say you didn't see it coming.
I didn't see it. Oh yeah, I didn't see it. No, I'm so surprised. Don't know.
Hey, I'm very glad, though, because I mentioned this on the regular podcast, but I played the game for probably about 30 minutes, and I was like, this is not a game I will enjoy playing, so I stopped playing it. So I'm excited.
You gave it the old college try.
Yeah, to be fair, I never
drop out immediately after one class.
To be fair, I never thought I would like it, and I put it really low on my Gamefly list. It's just for some reason they're like, oh, hey, let's send this to him. So I was like, oh, okay, I'll try it. I mean, it's just not the kind of game I'm into.
I still have played the game. Do you think, I mean, I don't know, because someone made a comment that their romance is going to be focused in this one. I'm like, I don't recall there being romances in, I mean, I know you eventually date the girls in the game, but it's like, is there going to be a hardcore romance in this series? I don't think so.
I don't think so. It's because it's just going to be like a lot like Persona 4. They're not going to want to commit to one girl because you know you're going to piss off a ton of people because they're going to be like, but this one is bae. Why is he dating her?
Right, so, yeah.
I think everybody enjoy if they got the harem ending.
Right, everyone.
Yeah, that Valentine's Day is, I want to see that animated.
And then the last,
but,
last two
here. Just quickly. I'm surprised to see it animated so soon, or get an announcement so soon, like after the game came out. Like, it was expected, but...
They probably want to get it out quickly because, like anything, as the time wears on, people will cool on the game, so you want to get it out while it's hot.
Since the game, it got delayed over and over again for the West, but it came out in 2016 in Japan. So if it's scheduled for 2018, that's 2 years after the game. So I'd say that's a pretty good, you know, amount of time.
Right, and I imagine they've probably animated, like, a bunch of scenes for the game, never used them. So they're like, okay, we can use this for the anime. So they saved it and use it for later, I would imagine, but...
I think it's a different animation studio, though. Okay. They used IG, Production IG, for the anime, for the game, and the anime is going to be A1 Pictures.
I saw a lot of people kind of griping on that fact that A1's doing it. They weren't very happy about that choice.
Well, I mean, like, A1 has done some good stuff, and especially in terms of animation. But, you know,
people again, always like, want the original source. They're probably like, why isn't Production IG working on it?
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's the same
I'm saying, like, you know, we don't know who's working on it.
Yeah.
You know, like, we know the studio is, but not the staff, so.
Right. Let's see the same thing with Fate Cop with this season. That, why isn't Equitable doing it, you know? Like, well,
that show just sucks, though. Come on.
Yeah. Next triggering story here, people. Konosuba is getting a new project, which I think by this time I thought they announced something, but I guess not. So people are speculating into that Megami spinoff, just following her around, which I wouldn't mind. She's my favorite. But
yeah,
I guess it could be a movie, a recap movie.
Yeah, I was just disappointed because when I first heard the news, I was like, oh, there's a sequel. And I looked into it, it was like, Project. I was like, oh, Project.
It feels like an OVA episode or something. Mm-hmm. Coming, which is good.
Definitely does.
More Konosuba, but.
But truly, we want sequels, right? Yeah.
Right, exactly. And the last bit here is Kogiya's film trilogy announced. I guess it's going to be like recaps, and maybe the third one's going to connect to the new series coming out. That's what I'm guessing. It's obviously hype for the new series coming out. I think.
Could guess, yes. I definitely wanted more of that.
I did see some extra. Bandai did some kind of poll where they asked fans what they want to see more of, and they did like voted. So Kogiya was high on the list, and I think Tiger and Bunny was high on there too.
Oh yeah, Tiger and Bunny would be awesome.
There's a couple of shows that are high on that list.
To be fair though, Code Geass was actually really good. The first season of it. Yeah, so
it was the first series I ever watched that I watched because I wanted the robots, but actually it showed you more about the characters, which I thought was interesting when I was at the time watching it. That a mech series focused on characters, not just robots fighting all the time. So.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so that's been the news. I don't know if anything else. Cover, but yeah.
I thought there was something. I'm trying to look around. I thought there was something that was gonna get an announcement later in August about a new season. Oh shoot! Shouldn't have brought this up.
Good job.
Yeah. I'm trying to find it. Crap. Anyway. Yeah. So anime is coming out. There's a sequel to Basilisk, Koga Ninpo Cho. Did anybody watch that? Like, came out 12 years ago.
Doesn't sound familiar at all.
I've seen that. It wasn't a great ninja series, but that's one of those where it's like, what? Who's wanting a sequel to this series? Like, it wasn't really that great when it first came out.
Oh, I watched that. Yeah, I had to look it up to remember. Oh my god, I don't know why.
Yeah.
I was like trying to remember what the show is. Now I remember. I'm like, you know, this sucked. Why? Like, of all the old Gonzo projects, like, there have been some really good ones. Why that one?
Yeah. Okay, good. I stalled long enough just to find that news I was thinking about. Dagashi Kashi, the manga about the boy that was gonna take over the candy store, but didn't want to.
That girl. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, important announcement.
It's getting another season?
It's getting a video game.
So. It's a video game.
A pachinko machine. You know, the usual joke. But yeah. I guess we're going to jump on to our main topic, which is talking about a movie, and I guess another movie, on Netflix, if you guys have heard about it. You know, Castlevania was kind of in the news a while back. It was all over Twitter, how, you know, they're impressed by animation and stuff like that. But, yeah, it was on Netflix, I guess 4 episodes. I forget who was doing it. I think a very small studio did this.
Yeah, the animation. Production companies are Frederator Studios and Powerhouse Animation.
Frederator, I know, just because they do a lot of Nickelodeon cartoons.
Yeah, I'll admit, when I first heard about this, I didn't realize that it wasn't done by a Japanese anime group.
So what were you guys thinking when you heard about this news? Were you kind of like, yeah, or just like, eh? For me, I was kind of excited because it's a video game. I might want to see what they could do with it, but my Castlevania knowledge is kind of small. I know about the basic storyline, but that's about it.
I like Castlevania games a lot. So I was, you know, like I, at first I was skeptical, right? Because it's a video game adaptation. And at first when it was announced, for a Netflix series, I thought it was going to be live action. So I was actually surprised when it was announced to be a animated thing. But I think it turned out for the better because of that.
Yeah. I think.
Yeah, it was interesting if they chose to do animation versus live action.
Mm-hmm. I think it can work in live action if you have the right people working on it, mm-hmm. and if you get the right look, because Castlevania, you can give it a realistic look, but I do think animation is for the best.
I think Netflix just likes, you know, mixing things up, because that's what they're kind of known for. So I can't think of any drawn animation products they've done before before this. I know they did a couple, like, digital anime stuff. Like, I know they did the Dragons, How to Train Your Dragon stuff. And then we know they're working with DC to do Young Justice. Young Justice. So maybe this was kind of like a pilot, so just to kind of dip their feet into animation. Because I can't think of any other things they did that was original that was just animation only.
Right. They like to put Netflix original in front of anime that, you know, they didn't make.
True. And they've been doing a lot lately, Netflix. They've been doing movies and stuff like that on their own. So they've got, I guess, the budget to do things like this, which I was impressed by the animation, at least.
Netflix has taken over the world.
Oh, yeah, totally. But yeah, I was impressed by the artwork and stuff they have for it. Even though 4 episodes is kind of like, can they really get a story in 4 episodes, and like, yeah, they kind of sort of did, but they obviously did. I think it came out, and they're like, oh, season 2, right? Announced right a couple of days afterwards. I'm like, of course, but the way it ended, obviously they have to.
Like, we want more of this. This is pretty good, and right. The story doesn't end anywhere close.
Yeah, because episode 1 and 2, you're like, it's a lot of talking. Episode 3, like, a lot of talking, some action. Episode 4, more talking, and a little bit of action at the end. Which I think that episode was probably the best, because you did get to see them kind of go full out with their animation and fighting and stuff like that. Which I guess we can spoil some of this stuff, because it's 4 episodes. I mean, it's not that hard to watch.
Yeah,
but
I'll say that they did. I'll say that it was an interesting choice to start the first episode with just Dracula, just the focus on Dracula, because he never really gets any focus in the games. You know, he's always just the big bad evil guy. But you know, I thought it was kind of interesting that he does actually have a son, which is Alucard, and we kind of see Alucard's quote unquote origins here in the first episode. And so you have to think to yourself, well, you know, he fathered a half vampire, half human son, so he must have at some point gotten it on with a woman, you know. So I thought it was interesting that, like, they took the sort of like they sort of humanized Dracula in that first episode.
Yeah, because
I was gonna say, I was by the end of the episode, I was on Dracula's side.
Yeah, me too. Me too. And then you find out that, you know, the wife he married got murdered or like burned at the stake because they thought she was a vampire. And you just see when in that moment he starts crying, he gets really pissed off. You're like, damn, feel bad for this guy. Like, holy shit. He goes on a rampage. But I thought it was interesting. He kind of goes. Appears to the church and tells him, like, gives him a year, gives him a warning, like, you got a year to do this, and then that's all you got. But then it's like, whatever. Like, it's a big flaming skull in the sky. You guys can't believe that? Like,
they're like, he won't do it.
Like, he won't. There
this
you
is go. An episode of Punked, isn't it? Where's Ashton Kutcher?
I was waiting for something. But yeah, the priest down there, they're like, whatever, you're not going to do anything about this. It's like, it's a big flaming face. You're going to not believe that. Well, whatever. I think episode 2 is like the year skip after that, and everything goes, all hell breaks loose, and there's monsters everywhere. And then seeing the people die, I was like, they got what they deserved. I kind of felt, I didn't feel bad for them at all.
Yeah, and a pretty interesting, funny way to introduce Trevor Belmont into the story.
God, he's so
getting
funny.
Him into a bar fight and getting kicked in the nuts a couple times.
That whole sequence of him was pretty funny.
Lots of mention of testicles.
But yeah, Matt, did you guys watch it dubbed or you watched it subbed?
I watched it dubbed.
Well, yeah, me too.
I watched it. Now that we're talking about the dub, I did want to mention, like, I saw some in reviews, some praise for the dub. I honestly didn't think it was that good, or not necessarily the acting, but like the mix, the audio mix. Like, it was way too hard to actually make out what they were saying half the time. So I had to turn on the subtitles to even know what they were saying, and I was like, what, you know, I'm not, like, I feel like I'm really watching anime here.
I recall the scene in the church between Trevor and the bishop being a little difficult to understand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was. Yeah, I can agree on that. but like the accents and stuff were fit the period. I thought it was pretty cool how they actually put accents on these people instead of just making them speak regular English. They, you know, gave Trevor an accent, gave the bishop sort of an accent, the way he spoke, whatever. But yeah,
well, they're all British actors,
right?
Which is funny because they're in a made up Eastern European country.
Which is annoying.
So you know. Yeah. Well, so they're like, you know, if they're European, then they must be British.
Yeah.
Have you seen what was it? The Beauty and the Beast movie where it's all in French, but they speak, all of them are English actors.
Right.
So I thought that was funny.
Right. But yeah, Trevor was cool. I like him as a character. He's this kind of like lazy guy. He kind of reminds me of Gintoki from Gintama a little bit. How he's lazy, but he does the right thing when he has to. And it's kind of hard to get motivated. But
you officially got Steve's attention there.
Right, and that's why he came off when I first saw him. He's just a Gintoki character who's just not always the good guy, but he's, I'll do it if I have to. And this is what kind of character he was. He was motivated a little bit here and there, but he helps when he had to. And he's getting something out of it, too. So most of the time, he's like, you know, he did that. And being the Belmont, and I guess obviously their family is not very, very well liked, so everyone hates them. But he's kind of hiding, so I guess he's doesn't really want to draw attention to himself. But he kind of does in like episode. The first time you see him, he beats everyone up in a bar. Like, you draw attention to yourself there. But
yeah, he was a pretty cool Belmont, and you know that's obviously very important for a Castlevania series to have a likable Belmont in the series, and you know his interactions with everybody, including the speakers and some of the church people, was very good.
Right.
How to handle his character.
Yeah, and then you get to the town, and it's revealed as a legend of a guy sleeping under the castle, which I kind of figured, I'm like, it's got to be a vampire. I mean, obviously, who else would it be sleeping under a castle? It's like, come on. So, eventually they get to that, which was cool. I like that whole, how that scene played out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, really cool fight versus the Cyclops, and seeing Trevor use his whip. And
The only thing I didn't like is they didn't have the iconic Castlevania theme song I was used to. I was like,
oh God, yeah.
Where's that song at? They need like a remix techno version of it in there somewhere. Throw it in there.
Castlevania has such good music too.
Yeah.
You know,
that's the one thing I hear with Castlevania is very praised for is their music. Like they didn't really have the music wasn't really that memorable in this for me. Like generic fight music, but
yeah, that was really nothing much.
The one thing I was surprised at that. Alucard at the end kind of like teams up with the caster girl, who's I guess she's a speaker as well, and Trevor. So the three of them are gonna go after Dracula, which I was like, yeah, I guess I could saw that coming when they got down there. And he didn't really seem like a threat at the beginning; he wasn't really out to kill him. So I was like, he's just testing him. He was cool. I like Alucard.
So you know this Castlevania anime, I guess if you want to call it. It's based off of Castlevania 3, Dracula's, not Dracula's Curse. Anyway, it's Castlevania 3.
Yeah, that's right.
It's kind of important to note that, like, in the Castlevania timeline, it takes place, like, it's one of the earliest games that takes place. So, like, even before the original Castlevania that has Simon, that a lot of people are more familiar with, like, at this point, like we mentioned, the Belmonts aren't like very popular, and they got kind of like a bad reputation or whatever. And you know that in Castlevania 3, that's where they actually introduced Alucard for the first time. And him, Trevor, and Sypha were all playable characters in that game.
Okay, so that makes sense.
Yeah, it's kind of cool to see them sort of like set the you know get the team together in this first these first four episodes to actually you know go to the castle or whatever.
Castlevania, like mini Avengers. Defenders, basically, because that's what we got the Defenders over here. They fight, you know, monsters and stuff. So that's kind of cool. I mean,
I think it was actually a good choice to start with Castlevania 3, because Alucard is one of the more popular Castlevania characters, especially with Symphony of the Night being, I think, one of the more recognizable games in the series.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, starting here with his origin kind of like lets them, it gives them sort of like some freedom to work up to Symphony of the Night.
Right.
And, you know, I think it was just a good place to start.
Yeah, I think it would be kind of boring to go right into season 2 and just is Trevor by himself. for 8 episodes, which is what they're getting next season. But yeah, I think making the team's a very good choice. Kind of gives them maybe they can play off each other, and you know, that way you don't have Alucard just being OP and killing mm-hmm. everything before they can get to it. Like, gotta give everyone else a kind of fair share chance to do their part too. I mean, I'm excited to see how they do next season.
I'm curious, with 8 episodes, would they finish off the series at that point? Would they have the final confrontation with Dracula and then, you know, end the series there? Or I'll be interested to see at the end of season 2, whenever that comes out, where the story would go, if anywhere, from there.
Right, yeah, me too. Anything else to say about this aspect of this series there?
I hope the series continues to get better.
Yeah. I would say the one thing I did like is the scene where the bishop gets eaten. I bet monster's talking to him like, "Oh, no, we love you," and he just, I was like, "Damn."
Like, "Now let me kiss you." Chomp, yeah, chomp, chomp.
That was a little weird. I was like, "Okay, sure." But I think last thing I mentioned, I saw a rumor that they would be doing more animated video game stuff. I thought I saw that Assassin's Creed was on the list of things they might possibly adapt to animation, or I know they did Halo a long time ago, the shorts, but yeah, someone said about Halo might be a good one. What series would you guys like to see video game turn into, like this style of animation?
Oh, Destiny.
I wouldn't mind seeing that Resident Evil. Yeah, Destiny would be good.
Does Destiny have a story?
Yes, it does.
So let's not get
just
started.
Not a very well told one, but a good story.
Since let's stay kind of like in the same genre of games, right? Like Castlevania has been pretty good so far. So what about Metroid?
Yeah, Metroid would be pretty good. Yeah, I think the last one I saw was Metal Gear. Was the other one? That was the third one they rumored that might be animated. I was like, I wouldn't mind seeing that. It'd be pretty cool.
That would be cool, but. If you ever want to see that animated, just play the games. Especially Metal Gear Solid 4 is pretty much a movie.
I mean, yeah, depending on which one they focused on. Focus on the original. I think the original had a pretty good story.
True. Yeah, I would definitely like to see the originals. For sure.
Can't think of anything else besides like Resident Evil. That would be pretty cool. Since the live action movies kind of screwed it up. And the CGI ones
aren't
that great
and the
either.
CG movies too.
Yeah, they're not that great either. I'm surprised you guys wouldn't want to see like Drake's Fortune or one of those type of games.
I just don't feel like those would make necessarily good animated movies like this.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Go ahead. I want to say Kingdom Hearts, but that would be way too expensive to make.
Oh god.
Yeah. Just have Disney control it, and it'd be easy. No, but I think the problem is so many games, at least a lot of modern games, we always make the mentioning that. Hey, this game is like a movie. And that's kind of what a lot of games moved into, is playing it like a movie. So it really, you'd only have to think a lot of classic games. Mm-hmm. Because those are the games where, animating those would make much more effect. You know, like if I say something like, oh, what about the new Batman Arkham line? Maybe those would make a great... I'm like, I mean, if I really want Batman Arkham's, you know... story, I'd rather just go play the games and sit down and watch them in animated movie form.
Banjo-Kazooie.
That is a good point. I mean, like you said, games don't really have much of a story. You could build more on.
Maybe something like Zelda would be cool, but then people would get pissed off because Link would have to have a voice, and then it's suddenly like, Link can't have a voice for some reason.
Yeah. And then they'd be like, it's not a female Link. Yeah, whatever. But there's a lot of chances they could. This may be like the first. Yeah. If they see more chances, they do more of these. You know, they see it as a profit. Like, oh, we could do more of these easily. You know.
Yeah, as long as they're well written enough and they have the space to kind of breathe and write a story that they want to, like Castlevania did. I was just reading some of the points about how the writer was working with Igarashi to kind of see where it fits in the storyline.
Again, speaking of which,
I was gonna say the writer is Warren Ellis, which Steve, I'm sure you've heard of.
Sure.
He's a comic writer, but I guess not.
Nah, I mean, there's a lot of comic book writers. Unless he writes for DC, I probably haven't heard of him. DC is the one I tend to know better. But no, as I was saying, it's Netflix. And that's one of the cool things about Netflix is the reason they make so much TV shows is because they bleed money. Because, you know, all they do is license properties and stream them. So that's why they had so much money, and that's why they could do it. And I think that's the great thing about Netflix is they could literally just sit on their hands and knees and make oodles of money, but instead they're making great entertainment like this, and that's great.
Yeah, I just wish they would hurry up and give us season two of Little Witch Academia. God damn it.
Download it.
They're not a date yet on that, season two?
No, they're not.
No, not yet. They've just released the first 13 episodes, and you know you'll get a laugh out of this. You know what their reasoning was for not releasing the whole thing at once? They didn't want people to binge watch it.
What?
Yeah, binge watching is who binge watches on Netflix? Let's be honest.
That's them.
They just want to give you a little taste, you know, get you a little crack, you know, a little addicted to it. Like, okay, then okay, yeah. We got more. Wait, you gotta wait for it.
the truth is, they want people to keep their subscriptions longer, so they can do 13 episodes now. And it's like, oh well, hey, you gotta wait an extra month. So that's what's probably it.
I did just take like a free 6-month subscription, so maybe it's like
what? How'd you get a free 6-month subscription
with the cell phone I just got?
Oh,
yeah. Sort of like okay. On the 7th month, we're going to release the season 2, and then you got to buy it.
to be fair, Netflix is probably the greatest deal you could have. Just,
it is.
You know, $10 and the amount of entertainment you get is stupid.
Something you could watch every day.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's true. And to, I guess, jump to something completely different, unless there are demons in this anime movie, maybe. Kouto no Kashi, which is Silent Voice. We were going to talk about that. I mean, I think we've all seen it. I've seen it a little bit, I think, a month ago. But yeah, this was a pretty good story. I mean, what did you guys think about when you heard the announcement? Did you read the manga at all? I mean, I've read the manga. Then I heard the announcement, and I was like, okay, well, I'll watch the movie. it's a pretty short manga.
So there was a manga before the movie announcement?
Yeah. I think it was a year or two before the movie was even announced.
Oh,
if it's a finished series. Yeah, no, I honestly had no idea. I was literally bored one day, and it was like, oh, hey, look, there's a anime movie for download I haven't seen. And I literally just downloaded and watched it without any trailers or any real knowledge of what it was really going to be about, other than reading the brief synopsis. And I was like, this was definitely a real surprise to me. I was like, oh, this is amazing. It's like, I don't remember even hearing about it. And I didn't, because your name was like everyone talked about. So, you know, this one didn't really get, ironically, didn't get a very loud presence in the movie theaters. Obviously, a lot of real fans, because if you go on, you know, something like My Anime List, it's literally rated number 9 on the whole out of all anime, and it's the second top rated movie of all time on the list behind Your Name. But, It is definitely a really good movie. It's a very powerful story, I think. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for the most part, it's at least I got some critiques I'll bring up a little bit later. But for the most part, it's told beautifully and just very well done.
I was more surprised the fact that out of all the studios that picked it up was KyoAni. They don't really do a lot of these serious topics like this. Like, and you know, not, I guess if you've seen it, we're going to spoil a little bit of here or there, but there. But it focuses on, like, you know, bullying, being suicidal, becoming broken families, stuff like that. So, like, it deals with a lot of, like, heavy subject matter that I was surprised that KyoAni would even try to take on. Because they're usually lighthearted, you know, they usually have tragedy in some shows. Like, I think the most tragic show, in my opinion, they have is, like, Clan from back in the day. But that's about it. Looking at their catalog, they don't really have many stories like this that are serious in tone as this one. I guess it was good. Maybe they wanted to try something new, experiment a little bit.
Wait, did you say Clanid?
Yeah, I think that one of theirs, they did one a long time ago. This one of theirs.
Yeah, they did Clanid and Clanid After Story.
That's the only like stories I've known that are like are
super serious.
Yeah, or sad. Well, or like,
there's no same face here.
Right.
Well, I was gonna say they did Full Metal Panic, but I mean, like, you know, like I want to touch on the fact that, like, this is a movie by Naoko Yamada, who I think she's kind of like a rising star in Kyoto Animation. Well, and to even say rising star is kind of silly because, you know, she did K-On. She's
been around forever.
So she's been around forever, and, you know, she did the K-On! Movie, and she also did Tomoko Love Story, which is another fantastic movie if you haven't seen it. I think that movie almost... I liked Tomoko Market. You know, I liked it as a series, fine, but, like, the movie was what kind of, like, justified that whole series for me. Mm-hmm. But, like, she's just a fantastic visual director, and it really comes through in this movie. It's just this movie is gorgeous, to put it simply.
Oh yeah, this one has the, you know, the Kyoani thing everyone loves. It's very bright and colorful, mm-hmm. and a lot of cute designs for the characters. And even though that this main story is pretty depressing, but the characters, you know, themselves, mm-hmm. are the identical Kyoani style characters, well, for the most part. So you get to the actual characters when they're a little older, when they're little kid, the kid versions are just regular kids. And I think that's one thing I kind of praised it for when I was watching it, that they got the kids kind of right. I mean, as for me, I think everyone's experienced a little bit of bullying here and there in their lives, probably. That little kids are dicks, and they are. They're mean.
Yeah.
And they got that pretty much right. That even though it's kind of like you're happy they got it right, but you're kind of like, it's kind of, you feel bad for the characters, but it's still like they did it right. I mean, they portrayed kids as being kids. They're not very nice. They don't care. Mm-hmm. They don't have filters. They just say what they want. And they act the way they want, so it's kind of got that part right.
Yeah, that first 15 to 20 minutes was emotionally very rough to watch. These kids just being so mean to Nishimiya.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The scene that got me is when they ripped out the hearing aid. I was like, oh.
I'll say this. Like, watching that as an adult gives you, you know, because all of us are adults here, and we have a little more perspective. You know, back when I was younger, I guarantee I would have been on, not like on the bullying side, but I would have, at least while watching this, not really thought much about her ripping out the ear things. But as an adult, every time he ripped one of those out, I was like, you know, that's got to be expensive. And, you know, of course, it ended up being very expensive. But it's definitely kind of like gives us, I guess, a little more of an interesting perspective on the whole situation.
Yeah, definitely. That was one thing that was, it did give you that perspective that, yeah, as adults, we know accusation, we know the cost of these kind of things, you know, things like that. That's part expensive. And then seeing the kids do it, you're like, oh, well, they don't really know. But I think the scene that, and then they switched up where it turned on him, he got bullied, and I was like, I didn't feel bad for him at all.
But, I know.
It's like, I think that's the point of that. They want you not to feel bad for him because it's kind of, he's getting what he deserved, basically. But after a while, you do start feeling bad for
him. It was a little extreme, though, to be fair.
Right. No, I would say, like, I think the point was he realized when it turned on him, like, what he had been doing to her. But I don't think anybody deserves that, you know? Like, especially when it drove him to the fact of wanting to kill himself. Like, I thought that was so, like, that hurt me when his, you know, he worked to earn the money to pay back his mom, and then was like, well, time to go kill myself.
Yeah, like, it's like, there's like a level, I think. Like, you know, you reap what you sow, I think, goes to a certain level, and then, like, one, I feel like, yeah, he definitely got to that level, and then it went way past it. So, yeah, it was definitely kind of like, especially his mom, like, I know you just felt sorry for his mom, like, just imagine having your kid go through that. And, you know, she knew. And that's the worst part, too.
Right, yeah.
What kills me about it is that she's a good mom. Like, you know, and again, you know, talk about watching it as an adult, right? Like, you look at it, you look at her working as a single mother, mm-hmm. taking care of him and her other daughters, you know, her daughter's daughter, right? So her granddaughter. You're just like, you feel so bad for her, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, and the fact that she, like, throughout all the hardship or whatever, she still loves her son, and you really feel it when she doesn't want him to kill himself. You know what I'm saying? And so,
the most emotionally powerful. Right, where she just basically says, it's not the money, it's your, almost like your life's better, more important right now. Like, come on. Like, but there were some scenes I'm like, she doesn't do much. But yeah, you said, since you said all that, it doesn't make sense. You see from her point of view that, you know, it is hard for her to do all that, and she still loves him at the end of the day. But it's like, his choices are what she's not very agreeing with, obviously. But But yeah, I guess the scene where he's about to kill himself was like, damn, you know, it did hit. I did feel bad for him in that, in those couple moments where it's like, to go that far, you know, because to me, I've never been pushed that far. I mean, I was bullied like my whole time in school, whatever, because if people didn't know, I use a wheelchair to get around. So it's like, it's kind of an easy target. You know, you see someone like me, obviously mm-hmm. someone's going to go for someone like me versus someone else not. It was normal, whatever. So it's like, I felt for the guy. I felt for the Nishima. I felt for her throughout the whole series. Yeah. But then I felt for him, too, at the same time, that he was pushed to that extreme to, you know, kill himself. Like, damn, it just, for me, it was hard to connect to that. But I did feel bad for him during those moments.
But yeah, I mean, like, and of course, the main female character, you said, it's been a while since I watched it, so
Nishimiya.
I'm a little
bit. I say Shoko.
Yeah, Shoko.
Like, watching her, especially after, you know, everything she went through and him trying to reconnect with her, just like, I think what really hurt me the most was when she, like, she didn't hate him. She didn't hate the people that were bullying her. She, like, turned it on herself. And felt that she was a burden on the people around her. Like, that was the, you know, that's the one that, like, drew, a tear or two out of my eye.
Right, same here. Because, you know, I felt that way, too, with certain things in my life. That you know, it is harder to take care of someone that has these kind of problems. That you can't really, mm-hmm. you know, help them the way you want to help them. And so, yeah, I felt bad at that with her on that. And reveal that she, you know, like you said, she did turn it all on herself. And felt like she was a burden to everybody. And because most times the scenes you see her, she's not really, you don't really see her in like emotional pain as much. Mm-hmm. But when she gets home, she's a different person, obviously. But when she's at home, you see the other side of her, that she does get emotional just like everyone else does.
Yeah. And Ueno is kind of the catalyst for a lot of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially the scene where they're alone in the Ferris wheel. I was like, oh, he shouldn't have let them go alone. I was like, that was a bad choice. But, you know, they talk things out, and like I said, she did reveal a lot in that scene, that what she was up to and all this. Like, yeah, well. But then Yuen has always been that character that I don't think no one really likes. I think that's the point with that character. You don't really like her. She's, even at the end, there's her X on her face never goes away. It's still there. So it's like, she's not really a friend still, even at the end of the series, which is interesting.
You know, that was one of the things, though, I really liked about the series is, you know, the whole X's on the face and how it just was such a great, like, tool to kind of represent, you know, what Ishida was going through and how he wasn't really looking at people at all. And it was just kind of, it was such a great moment when, like, you know, when we saw his friend, I can't think of his name, the short little chubby guy.
Nagatsuka.
Yeah, when he became, you know, suddenly the ex ripped it off, lifted off his face, and he's like, suddenly he's got a friend now. And it was such a well done, you know, I guess you could say, trick to the show that I feel like brought so much more to it.
Right, yeah, seeing him get a friend after, you know, I don't know how many years he's been without a friend. It's like, you know, he's kind of well-deserved to get some happiness here and there, but when he gets a friend, he's kind of cool. He's a interesting character, even though he's kind of, at the same time, using his other friend to have a friend too. So they're both kind of getting something out of this relationship by hanging out together. But yeah, I like that character. He's kind of interesting. I think the one thing they left out from the manga versus this, they filmed this big movie together. They all were acting in this big movie they filmed for school. They didn't really see it, but that brought them together a lot in the manga. As, you know, friends.
That's actually like one critique I was actually going to bring up. Mm-hmm. I felt like the beginning of this movie was paced exceedingly well, but there were some definitely middle parts and end parts that you could just feel like, okay, they cut something out there. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, they made some kind of leap there, and you just felt like there was something missing. Like we never really. We got like a little taste, but we never really got a full, you know, understanding of the whole Ueno and Ishida, like how their relationship was. You know, in the end, it was like, yeah, obviously Ueno, I keep calling it Uno, Ueno, had some sort of feelings toward Ishida back when he was younger. But I felt like you just like there was definitely a lot there in the story we never got. Which actually does make me want to go back to read the manga.
Mm-hmm.
It was definitely felt in the movie, at least in my point of view. Yeah. Like, I was like, there's definitely something missing here.
Yeah, there's a lot with the secondary characters that they never really got a chance to get to that is really kind of important to the story and and the reason why these characters acted the way they did back in the day and even up to now. And it's why certain characters hang out with each other, like Ueno and I forgot her name, the really tall girl. They are friends, apparently. Sakura. She's like a model now and she's helping her. So even those two connecting were kind of weird because everyone thought the other girl was just trying to be a suck up because in school she learned sign language so she could talk with Shoko. And everyone was like, oh, you're just getting brownie points for the teacher and all this. And he kind of picked on her for that. So.
Yeah, and I think another thing is his name, Satoshi, the other guy. That he kind of became friends with. It just felt like definitely like his character felt like they were a lot cut out because at one point he's like, I thought we were friends, and I was like I've seen this guy for barely like 3 minutes, you know.
I forgot about that character being in this at all, but I don't remember his story very much. I think there is more to him. There's a lot more to that character, I think, that they left out but didn't really get time to, because I think they could have cut him out and it would have been fine, but I guess he kind of had to have him around. Like, yeah, but I kind of agree. He just met the guy, like, a couple of days. Like, we're not friends. And we're like, oh, okay. Like, see you later then. Whatever. I guess let's talk about the supporting cast. I liked, Shoko's little sister. How they introduced her.
Yeah.
It was pretty good.
Introducing her as though she was his her boyfriend.
Right. I like the fact that the fat kid grabbed her. And picked her off the ground, and he's like, that's a girl, and he's freaking out about it.
And he's across the street in the next frame.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
That was pretty good.
Yeah, I do remember that.
But yeah, I like that character. She's interesting. Just, I guess she does try to take care of her older sister as much as she can, but, and then the reveal about the pictures and stuff, and there's all this stuff about that character that is kind of cool, the story, I guess, that how she's doing all this for her sister. Photos. Because in the beginning, I was confused why she took photos, and did you reveal why?
It felt like a something probably that was explained better in the manga. Uh-huh. It was like all of a sudden she was taking pictures of dead things, and I was like, I never quite got why she was doing that. And then even when they talked about it later on, I didn't quite get it until I went and read her description on Miami list, and you're like, she's taking dead pictures because of this. I was like, oh, I didn't get that in the movie at all. So
what was the reason?
When Ishida talked about his suicide, apparently it made her fascinated with death, so she started taking pictures of dead things.
Right. And the way the movie says it, it's like she did it to keep, I guess what we're always talking about now, Shoko killing herself. It was to keep her from doing that. And I guess, they revealed that she did try, and obviously he saved her, but he got the main guy, Shoya got put in the hospital because of that. But yeah, that's what I think they revealed in the movie, that's the reason why she took the pictures, to keep her sister from having those kind of thoughts of killing herself. So I guess it was like a reminder that she would see it and be like, oh, that's gross, a dead thing, and not do it. But they didn't really focus on that much. It just, one brief line, I was like, oh.
Yeah, and then she had a nightmare about seeing Shoko do that to herself with blood under her head.
Right, yeah. So it was kind of like, they could have explained a little bit better on that, but yeah, I think the focus was just supposed to be Shoko and Shoya kind of going through this, which I can understand. I mean, they are the main characters. And after we get to the hospital, I thought that was a great scene, because she thought he was like a ghost, because she was kind of like touching him, was kind of like in shock, like he's standing here in front of me, like, whoa, how'd you get... Like, is this really you? So it was kind of a good scene.
Yeah, I thought something was going to happen when he took off everything and ran, because I felt like you're in the hospital. He probably just woke up from, I guess, a coma or something.
Right, I think it was in it.
They said he was in a coma.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, he's gonna bleed out or something.
Yeah, I did too. Yeah.
I was like, man, that's dark.
Yeah. Trying to get what else to talk about.
how do you guys feel about the fact that, like, there was a bit of romantic tension there where obviously she was starting to fall for him. but there was no real resolution at the end, you know, in terms of romantic. Do you feel like that was a missed opportunity, or did the movie just not need it?
I don't mind that they didn't, you know, become a couple or anything like that, but I felt like some scene in the final 10 minutes or so of the movie between them exclusively would have been nice for some sort of closure for the movie between Shoya and Shoko, instead of just kind of like him and his friends.
Yeah, I think that part would have been a better choice, which is them two walking together. Yeah.
You said you read the manga. Did the ending like expand on the relationship in the manga at the end? Do you remember that at all?
I don't think so. I think it was kind of almost sort of similar to the same there, where they're just walking together at the end. That's it.
I don't think it necessarily needed it. I don't think anyone. I think it would have been nice to have something like that as kind of nice little closure. Kind of maybe not to the level of, I don't know who all watched. Oh, I know it's me. I don't know if you watched it, Fosh. The As the Moon series, where the ending credits was like their whole life together, and it was like, it was.
Oh yeah, I saw that. I saw that too.
Yeah, that, I mean, that was
like look all this shit they did.
Woo. Complete conclusion there, you know. Oh, relationship. They don't necessarily need to go that far, but I do kind of feel like, I guess you could say, like, I don't know, and this is why I'm okay with them not doing anything, is I don't know if I really ever felt, at least romantic intentions from Ishida. As his character was, like, I'm not saying he didn't like Nishimiya, but I don't know, I never really felt the love there. Like he was definitely like interested in being with her. Yeah, I think he was still kind of in the whole, guilt kind of thing, and the whole I want to just make up for everything. Well, yeah, she had feelings for him. So I kind of think like that, because of that, I'm okay with him not. I mean, sure, maybe down the line, you know, often the story fantasy of our heads and fanfic everywhere, they got together in the end, but I do, at least that, I think that was okay that they didn't go that route in the end.
Yeah, I think if they would have went that way, it would have been like all too cliche, and I'm glad they didn't have something where, oh, she fell in love and she got her hearing back. Like, no, don't do that kind of ending. But yeah, I kind of agree with you that they didn't really need that kind of romantic ending for this.
Some shows I feel like are better when movies and shows, when you just don't know the ending and you can kind of come to the conclusion yourself. And I feel that kind of like what's the movie with the spinning top end?
Inception.
Inception, or even, 91 Days, and how it was just kind of like, you know, it left the ending a little bit vague. Conclusion, and doesn't need to babysit you. And I think a lot of movies and a lot of TV shows nowadays have to babysit you through every little moment. Like, and you don't really need that. Right. So I feel like that was why it was a good decision as well, just not to kind of, well, it's happily ever after kind of moment.
Right.
Some shows, happily ever after moments are fantastic, but not everything needs them.
Right, and I think it also depends on how invested you are in the characters. I mean, in the movie, you kind of obviously have to sit through this and watch these two characters interact, so you kind of are invested a little bit, but you don't. But yeah, I think I agree. They don't really have this romantic vibe between them. It's more like he's trying to redeem himself. He feels bad for what he did. So he's trying to make up for everything he did. Even going so far as like learning sign language so he can talk to her properly and do all that. Do you guys have any favorite scenes in this movie?
I think the scene like after he saved her from, you know, her jump, like all that stuff at the hospital with, you know, the mothers and Ueno, and like that stuff was like,
so I was gonna say the mom stuff with the hospital is pretty good. Where she's just, you know, begging for forgiveness, and the mom.
Yeah, that.
Like,
oh man. Yeah.
That scene broke me. I was like, that was pretty intense for me, at least.
Because again, like, you know, when they were kids, and he broke like her hearing aid, and you know, like, his mom had to basically you know, go and apologize and suck it up, you know, for like for everything that he did, like, and then to have that completely
not just that. Didn't she get one of her earrings ripped out?
That's right. She ripped her earring out.
And that was over breaking the hearing aid versus actually committing suicide, which is way worse.
The fact that, well, yeah, I mean, and the fact that, like, you know, she almost lost her son because he tried to save her, and to just have those tables flipped at the very end, like, again, like, that was just super, like, super powerful. What about you guys? Favorite scenes?
I loved the proposal or when she said she told him she loved him.
The confession.
Yeah. That was such, like, not just that scene, but like even the scene right after it where she's, you know, in her room kind of kicking around, and you could see her sister kind of ask her what's going on, and he's that whole like, I don't think he understood it, and the whole that was heartbreaking in itself too, because Nishimiya is such like that, you know, like likable girl character. It's like you just gotta like her. So it was just kind of like heartbreaking that he didn't understand it, and just her reaction to it, and just the sister was like, he didn't get that at all.
But then it was funny the next day on the bridge when they're talking, it's like, he said something about he didn't understand what she was saying, and then something about the moon, and she just kind of giggles like.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. I think mine was maybe, it was like small, but when grandma passed away, there's a scene where there's a butterfly flying near Nishima, and it's like kind of metaphoric. Obviously, yeah, it's the grandma's spirit, whatever. And then she waves by to it. I was like, that was pretty interesting. I mean, that kind of sad, because like, yeah, I think we've all lost people. So I was like, yeah, it's kind of like that kind of scene. And the mom at the birthday party. Shoko's mom at the birthday party is pretty good. Kind of funny.
She just led the tension in that room.
Yeah, felt that. I was like, she's going to snap and say something to him. But I was like, actually not. She kind of was fine with it. And
I was definitely expecting her to grab the knife and do something bad with it.
Right. I feel bad for, you know, Shoyu. He's probably feeling the same thing everyone else is feeling. Like, this is not a good situation. Something bad's going to happen. But it was actually surprising that she kind of accepted him a little bit there in those moments. But then they had the festival and all that. I think I almost forgot the very, very last scene where all the X's fall. And you finally see that everyone, he can see everybody now. And I was like, that was a pretty good moment too. Mm-hmm. At the end, I was like, wow, because the music's, you know, gearing up and it music's blaring. And it's just a pretty good scene how they visualize that, all that, I guess. Him finally learning to let things go, I guess. And
forgive himself.
Right, pretty much. So I guess there's anything else to say. I mean, I like the movie overall. It was a pretty good experience.
I really liked it. I think Steve sort of brought this up at the beginning. It's a shame almost that it came out the same year as Your Name, because it got completely overshadowed.
I think
it still did pretty good at the Japanese box office, but you know, you can't compete against the number one grossing anime movie in the world of all time. Do we want to rank them like against each other?
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say, compared to the two. I mean, for me, I think it's fun. I like your Silent Voice a little bit better because it's more of a personal story. I could relate to this way more than the other ones, which was to me more fantasy, out there, but still a good movie. Mm-hmm. I'm not gonna say it wasn't. But for me, the Silent Voice was better.
I think Your Name, I liked it better, and I think a lot of the reasons I liked it better just has to do with, I feel like the payoff is so much better, and I don't want to get into spoiler territory for Your Name. It's because, you know, it just got released. If you're gonna go, if you didn't get a chance to see it in the theaters or anything like that. But yeah, it's definitely, I feel like the payoff in Your Name was so much better than this movie. That I kind of put it higher. Like, I think, yeah, they're both great movies, but Your Name, I just feel like, had that impact overall. And maybe it was more the fantastical elements of it. You know, also, I feel like Your Name I know the director, because I read some stories. Director is like, oh, there's so much I wanted to add to it. You know, as I was saying, like, why I like a silent voice, as I said, there was definitely moments in the movie you could feel were cut. Versus Your Name, I never really got that feeling. It just felt like a more complete story and didn't really feel like I was missing anything by the end.
I would say Your Name. I like Your Name better. I think it's a more... it's executed better than Silent Voice, which sounds ridiculous because they're both incredibly good movies, but yeah. I just think that the whole package of Your Name was just phenomenal.
It's like comparing two diamond rings, you know. They're both gorgeous rings. And you're just like, well, you know, I like this one better because, you know, the shape of it's better, you know. It becomes down to more of an opinion, I believe, because, again, they're both so excellent. So,
I thought it was interesting that Fosh, you brought up, you know, the fact that, like, I think you liked a Silent Voice better because it had more of a personal touch to you and you could relate more to it. And I think that's what makes it such a great movie, is that it kind of touches on, like, it's not a love story. It's kind of like, you know, I guess you could qualify it as a slice of life, but it touches on like a serious issue, you know, of bullying and, you know, people with disabilities and stuff like, you know, living with those disabilities. And I, for the same reasons, I like Your Name a lot because it kind of,
cause you can relate to switching bodies with a girl.
No. What I wanted to say was that it captures sort of a sentiment of Japan post, you know, the earthquake disaster that happened a few years ago, and of course all the lives that were lost in the tsunami and stuff like that. So, you know, like it's a movie that captures, you know, a sentiment, kind of like a moment in time almost. And I don't know, like, I think they're both very important movies for different reasons. Just like on a pure entertainment, from a pure entertainment standpoint, I think I like Your Name better. But again, A Silent Voice is a beautiful movie with, you know, like I think I cried more in A Silent Voice than I did in Your Name. Yeah. If that like, you know, means anything. So
yeah, no, it not coming from you. You cry.
I am a cry baby.
I was gonna say, like, I have five tissue boxes. What do you give this? Like, you know, how many times you cry versus, you know, the other one, but.
How many tissue boxes out of five?
Yeah, I mean, about four and a half, you know, for Silent Voice. Yeah. But I think with both movies, like, it kind of also depends on what you're looking for. If you're looking for more of a grounded in reality movie, watch Silent Voice. If you're looking for more fantasy out there, maybe something more adventurous, you know, try the other one, because it definitely had that vibe of being more out there. Like, obviously, the body switch thing is the gimmick that is part of the story, but the story is way more than just that. But I think if you want something that's a little out there, you try that.
Your Name was not as heavy.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the ending obviously was way, you know, the ending and all that stuff that happened in the last, like, fourth of the movie, or the third of the movie, I guess. Well, fourth, whatever. That was definitely much more heavy.
Right.
But, you know, this movie, yeah, it's got some lighthearted moments, but it's definitely, as you know, as we've covered, is a heavier movie. So that, I think that's another reasoning. Like, I don't get me wrong, I love heavy stuff, but sometimes, you know, I think, in my opinion, when it comes to this, the best entertainment, it's when it has a better mix of the two. And I just feel like Your Name had that better mix for me. Right. That was like the mix that I enjoyed versus this movie, which was more heavy throughout the entire film.
Right, definitely. I can agree on that. Any final thoughts on Silent Voice before we wrap this up?
I gotta check out this manga. There's just 64 chapters.
Yeah, it's pretty short series, so.
Yeah, I'll definitely check that out. Maybe, I think it does show you a little bit more of the characters, which is, obviously, manga can do that versus the movie. But, yeah, I don't really have anything else to say other than just, you know, watch, like I think we said before, depends on what you're wanting. If you want something more serious and heavy, check out, you know, Silent Voice.
Well, check them both out.
Yeah, check them both out, obviously.
You're missing out. If you're only seeing one, you're missing something.
Your time,
Programming note, Amro and I, along with Chris and Dee, did an EXT for Your Name that you can check out at Anavision.org.
Yep. They switch bodies too, man.
Spoilers.
Oh, no.
I'm surprised we didn't do something like that.
Yep. Oh, okay, I guess that's it for this. See you guys later. Next Envision chat.
Make good.